Clare Means Business, a Clare FM exclusive podcast with Josh Prenderville.
Hello and you're very welcome to Clare Means Business. I was going to open the podcast by saying welcome to a new month as it's the 1st of July, but with the rainy weather we've been experiencing, that's quite hard to believe. But anyway, moving on, and later in the show we'll be hearing about a merger of two legal firms, one in Clare and one in Limerick, which is set to create the largest dual county legal team in the Midwest region. For now though, we want to speak to a Southeast Clare pottery maker to open the podcast, who's been involved in the business for nearly 30 years. Ballymorris Pottery opened back in 1994 and in that time has branched out to teach classes, undertaking things like school tours and summer camps and team building days for employers as well. Hannah Arnup, who's based in Cratlow, operates Ballymorris Pottery and she's with us now. Hannah, you're very welcome. Talk to me briefly about that journey then, when it started in 1994 and where it all began for you really.
Yes, certainly. Thank you for having me on the programme. We've been in business 28 years. We are just off the NA team. So it's not visible from the road, but the location has actually really suited us. I moved to Ireland actually about 32 years ago and wanted to set up a business with clay and with pottery, but I was originally going to work with architectural signs. This I found really difficult. This was early 90s, economically very difficult, getting people to spend then on their houses. And architects and builders and that sort of thing just really, really difficult. So from there, we just started making bits of pottery, mugs and jugs, bowls, selling them in little local craft fairs. And from there, it just grew. I knew it, and then realizing then there was more of a market there was for that than for the architectural signs. We then got a very nice large commission with Cork commemorative plaques. So that was for 30 plaques that are still up in the city walls now. And this really meant that I had to take this seriously.
And that was kind of the big break you were looking for, so.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. One large order like that, it just concreted it all for us and we really had to go for it. We then in 94, we got an enterprise grant, start your own business grant. I can't remember actually what the wording was, with the enterprise board, which was fantastic to enable us then to have a decent workshop. Up till then, I've been working more or less than the kitchen table. And that was an absolute godsend. It really put us on a firm footing for what we could then do with all the equipment and the aspects of what we were. We were part of Clare Craft and Design, which is a co-op craft shop on Parnell Street in Ennis. Yeah, we were there for about 11 years. And again, like that, it was these steps that enabled us to bit by bit build the business without having to really, I'm not a terribly good risk taker, although I'm quite good at seeing opportunities. And all of these different aspects of it just built up my confidence for it and realizing that the business could be sustainable.
And with that in mind then, Hannah, like you mentioned in the early 90s there, and obviously Ireland was a very different place then. Clare was a very different place. The southeast of the county was a very different place. How has the market and your customers and kind of what you're all about as a business transformed and changed with the times then? Because I suppose you mentioned there that, okay, maybe you're not great at taking risks, but you are at seeing opportunities. And I guess to be in business and be doing well for as long as you have been, that's an incredibly important characteristic to have.
Very much so. I think it is having your eye on the ball to see those opportunities and to be able to react to them. It's a skill I didn't even realize that you have until you start using it. And then here I am decades later realizing that actually, yes, this is quite a strong point. The business has changed quite gradually over the over the years. It's now we do a lot of teaching, doing school tours. That's what we're in the middle of at the moment with our primary school visits. And then I do regular classes and all of these different aspects of the business come in. So it's actually quite complicated because of the fact that it's not just mugs and jugs and bowls anymore. So there's so much more to it.
You mentioned the teaching aspect of it and the tours and that kind of thing. Obviously, as you said, that wasn't how you started. It was pure products. So kind of how much time do you have to devote to maybe the teaching and touring side of it compared to the actual selling of product and hardware side of it?
I'd imagine it's about 60-40, 40% being the teaching and the classes.
And do you find that balance difficult to achieve?
Actually, no, because it's quite seasonal. Because you have, for example, at the moment, we're talking about the school tours. So they only really happen in May and June. And the classes, they will be October, November or February, March. So it's almost like you have a season, and those seasons, so the tourist season is a separate one. So at different times of the year, you have different aspects that you concentrate on. So it's a bit juggling, you know, there is that thing where you have to be, wear several different hats, but it falls into place. It's all right.
And I noticed just on your website offering, which people can view at ballymorrispottery.ie, there's a whole ream of products that are on there. And you have, I guess, the if you like, the bread and butter type of pottery, the functional stuff, the decorative stuff. But really interestingly, there's things like, you know, family prints, wedding prints, even pet prints. Is that a newer aspect of the product side of things? I've spoken to a number of similar businesses to yourself, not pottery, but other kind of areas. And they've often said to me that kind of gifting aspect of it is really one that's become popular in recent years.
It has become more popular. I mean, in reality, I've always made those prints. I don't think I'd really, I have done my friends' children, and so it starts. But that's 30 years ago. Yes, they have become more popular. And I think the personalization of just rather than buying ordinary, bog standard off the shelf items, the fact that you can get something that's so personal, and this is becoming more easier for the customers in that sense to find, and their desire to find these products, I think is, as you said, yes, you're right, it has grown.
You mentioned when we first began the interview, the facilities that you have and that you're able to work with, and thankfully you're not at your kitchen table anymore. Just give people an idea in terms of the product side of it, as well as the teaching side of it, in fairness, in terms of the preparation, just the amount of work that actually goes into to pottery and to your craft.
It is very time consuming. I spend most of my time in the pottery. It's very difficult to quantify. People often would say to me, well, how long does it take to make a mug? It's almost impossible. I find it really difficult to, because then you'd do a batch of throwing, and then they'd have to dry and go into the kilns, and then you're glazing them, and you're working in batches. And oftentimes you're also juggling that with other things that are going on at the same time. All I know is that I spend most of my time in here. So it is a whole encompassing. It takes in all aspects of my life.
Do you see it in some senses as, and I mean this in almost a complementary way, in the sense that it almost feeds into the demand for your classes and things like that, that pottery and even doing that kind of stuff with your hands and that kind of skill, that it's almost a dying art in some ways?
I don't know about that, you know. I'm not sure. I wouldn't say the actual craftsmanship and the hands-on aspect of it, and people to earn a living from it, that's quite difficult. But the desire for people to come and have a go and get stuck in, certainly since we had the 2 years of lockdown, I've noticed there is a growing demand for people that want to have that experience, to do what they have thought about, what do I really want to do in life. So I would actually think that pottery has grown in demand, the demand for it, for the handmade products, and also then for the experiences that we can offer, they have grown.
That's really interesting, because obviously business was, hit so hard by the pandemic, and I'm sure you were no exception, but and I'd hesitate to say that anybody benefited. But again, your type of offering, you know, what you're saying there is that maybe people took a step back and thought, you know, this is something that I want to experience, and why not give it a try?
Very much so. Very, very much so. I mean, if you think of that, that people were at home having to work in sort of stressful circumstances, and they're seeing pottery and the creativity and the mindfulness that that creates is all different aspects of why the classes now, certainly the classes in particular, have really grown in popularity. I'm gone from running two classes a week to five classes a week sometimes, you know, so it's the demand is there.
You're very much kept busy. And just to finish off, Hannah, in the sort of medium to long term, do you see, you mentioned that kind of 60-40 balance between the classes and the products earlier. Is that how you see things going, you know, as I say, for the medium to long term? Or do you see that balance kind of shifting and spending your time more towards one than the other as you go on?
I think actually that it may move again, that it would become more so to do with the experiences and the classes and the teaching, different events that are going on. Maybe making, personally, I think I would like to see that, maybe making more work to order so that I am making specifically for the client and making it personal to them. And I think that's one thing I would like to see. And we're sort of, I like the events. I mean, the next one we've got coming up is in August is a sort of potter's market that's going to happen the last weekend in August, where we have a group of 15 different potters, at the moment it's 15, that might grow, exhibiting over the weekend of the 27th and 28th. And I like those types of events as well. It's bringing the people into us as well. And they maybe things like that will grow as well as the personalisation in the products.
Excellent, and really good note to leave it on. And we'll sure keep an eye on your progress as well. And again, for people who might be interested in looking at some of your products and indeed classes as well, ballymorrispottery.ie. Hannah Arnup, you're based in Cratloe as well. Important people know that. Thanks very much for speaking to us on Clare Means Business, and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much, Josh.
Great stuff, and sounds like onwards and upwards for Hannah and the Arnup family out there in Cratloe. And as you heard there, she is on the N18, so do pop in and pay her a visit if you're stopping by, or indeed check her out on her website, ballymorrispottery.ie. Now for something different, and as I mentioned earlier, two of the longest established and award-winning law firms in Clare and Limerick have announced that they're to merge this week. Michael Houlihan and partners in Ennis and Sellers in Limerick are to come together under the one umbrella. Heading up the new firm will be Stephen Keogh, who many of you might remember as a former president of the Shannon Chamber. Stephen's with me now. Congratulations, first of all, Stephen. Talk to me then about the nature of this merger and how it all came about.
Firstly, thank you, Josh, for having me on. Delighted to speak with you. Yeah, so it's great news in for Michael Houlihan and Partners here in Ennis, and for Sellers in Limerick, two of the longest standing law firms in the region, making a decision to come together and work together and effectively join forces. So it's very exciting for us all, and exciting for the 50 people involved across the two practices, to give us a very strong platform now as we move forward in providing legal services in the region. And where it's all come about really is I suppose, you know, I've been practicing in Limerick with Sellers for many years now. We've grown the firm. We put the firm together in 2015, again merging two older firms in Limerick City, and the firm has been a great success. And you know, our client base stretches right into Clare, because for many reasons really, but we've a long history with Shannon. Through the law firm having a base in Shannon at one point, and indeed lots of our clients working in Shannon, and our businesses working in the Free Zone. And then, of course, a lot of people working in Limerick, you know, live in Clare. I live in Clonlara myself. So there's a huge amount of I suppose, overlapping between Clare and Limerick from a business perspective and commercial perspective. You know, I'm a great believer in the region, Josh. I think it's really important that we all speak with one voice and that we all work together. You know, as a unit in terms of presenting a strong offering for clients across a broad range of businesses.
And will there be any noticeable difference for your current clients? And is has it allowed your own end to maybe expand some of the types of legal services it's offering?
Yeah, so there'll be no immediate difference for clients. That's very important. They won't see any change because the solicitors that are involved in both firms are remaining. And actually, we're recruiting at the moment to add to our team. So the clients won't see any immediate change in a negative way in terms of the services that they receive. From a positive perspective, though, really what it's doing is it's allowing our solicitors to really focus on their speciality. Law firms are a business similar to any other type of business, and a lot of change is happening in the legal profession, again, like in other businesses. And you know, we have to respond to that. And the big change really we're seeing is that, you know, clients, whether they're businesses or individuals, people are looking for that specialist and that expert advice. And in order to be able to deliver that, the clients need to be able to meet with a solicitor who's acting and working in that area of speciality all the time, not necessarily exclusively, but pretty much all the time. So to do that, you need to have a larger firm where individual solicitors can focus on their areas of expertise. The general practice model, I could call it that, where people would go to their solicitor, you know, it's changing. And there's still a huge amount of work and a great opportunity in the market for general practitioner solicitors. But I suppose we feel that really the model is changing now, where, you know, clients come to a firm, and when they come to the firm, they then are go to the solicitor that's, I suppose, best to deal with their case, whether it's a family law matter or employment matter or property matter or administration of estates or commercial, rather than, I suppose, the more traditional model where you go to your lawyer, to the person that you know, and that person answers your question. And we are going to have a full breadth of expertise across the two offices. So you go to the right person for your particular area of practice.
You mentioned recruitment there, and that's obviously good to hear always. Are there enough graduates kind of coming on stream in terms of law in general? We're obviously aware of the courses that are in place in UL, and I suppose the nature of the merger means that you very much have a presence in the Midwest now. I've been speaking to some other types of industries like accounting, for example, and they'd be a bit concerned about that conveyor belt. Is that a concern within the law industry, or are you happy enough in terms of those graduates coming out of college?
You know, it's definitely a concern because the job market in other areas of other professions is so strong as well, that people can be attracted out of law when they come out of college. Even if they've practiced or they've studied law, they may go elsewhere. And so it is a challenge. And I think prior to COVID, certainly attracting talent to be based in the Midwest and in this region is always difficult, because you're competing against some of the much larger firms in Dublin who would have more attractive financial packages potentially, and other things that smaller firms find it very, very difficult to compete with. But I think there's been a big shift now, and COVID has helped that really, where people and law graduates and newly qualified solicitors are looking at the overall opportunity about wanting to be based in County Clare, and as I mentioned, perhaps live in the West Coast and be able to commute into Ennis, and the overall quality of life and what that brings. And I think that's what we're seeing. So, we attract a certain type of solicitor now who wants to work with us, who wants to perhaps, we're a family in the west of Ireland, who wants to be able to go, mountain biking and kayaking and surfing and all of that. So we are able to attract people. I think it's just about getting the person who's the right fit for us. It's a changing market all the time. So we have to evolve too. And I mean, that's part of what we're doing in the firm in terms of technology and innovation, and making sure that people, can have that flexibility, that they can do the hybrid model, and they can work from home when they want to.
Does that work in the legal profession, that working from home nature? Because obviously, naturally, particularly when it comes to individual clients, that face-to-face aspect can be so important. And I suppose every industry had to look at it somewhat during COVID. But do you feel that's kind of there to stay in the legal profession?
It is, Josh. And I mean, it's very important to say that this is a relationships business, and it's a business where there's a lot of important personal contact and trust built up between that legal advisor and their client. So that personal contact is really, really important. So we certainly feel that as a primary, I suppose, objective, people are in the office and then they're meeting clients. When clients are coming here, they can be concerned. They often have worries about whatever particular issue it is. And it's important that people are here. However, that doesn't have to be for the entire, I suppose, process, whether it's a, you know, it's a commercial transaction or if it's a advisory matter or a litigation matter. There's other elements of the process, if I could call it that, that people can actually do remotely. So I think really what we're seeing is that, yeah, the primary purpose for everybody is to be here and to meet clients and to work with colleagues. And that's really important because we all learn off one another. And, you know, the lawyers are always in and out of each other's offices and asking questions and feeding off one another. But there is the opportunity to say, well, you know what, Thursday and Friday this week, I'm actually going to be working from home and working on a particular case, and I'm going to do that from home. And that works. You know, that works absolutely fine. But there are some cases where, and again, you know, during COVID, I mean, I ran a commercial transaction where I did not meet the clients at all. The entire transaction was done remotely over a screen and all documents signed via DocuSign, electronic signatures, and no reason to meet at all.
Can I just mention, lastly, yeah, Stephen, 21 lawyers now, 50 people within the new merger, and obviously you mentioned further positions open at the moment, but in terms of the future, continued expansion part of the plan?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we made a decision that we wanted to develop and create the firm, and expand the firm in this region, in Clare and Limerick again, because that's where all our solicitors are based and working. And so many of the solicitors in our team have worked abroad, worked in London, and worked in the larger firms in Dublin, have chosen to come back. So we really want to base ourselves from here. But the expansion, you know, plans are certainly to make sure that as a priority that our clients are serviced as well as possible in this region. And then from there, you know, we're keeping a very much an open mind in terms of where we might go. But growth is very much part of the plan. Our five partners are all in our early 40s. You know, we do want to grow the firm. But again, with technology, that doesn't mean that we necessarily have to have several offices in different places. We can do an awful lot from here. We have a very strong base here now. You know, we all spend time servicing clients right across the country, and obviously in Dublin and right across. So, you know, we'll continue to do that and keep an open mind about opportunities that come. But, you know, this is a big day and a big week for us here. Our focus at the moment is to make sure that we deliver for all our clients and that the business continues to be a success and grows.
Excellent. And looking forward to keeping an eye on the progress of the new merger as well. Stephen Keogh, former president of Shannon Chamber and heading up this newly merged firm now across Ennis and Limerick. Best of luck and thanks very much for your time and speaking to us and what's been a busy week for you on Clare Means Business.
Thanks, Josh.
Best of luck to Stephen and all in both Michael Houlihan and Partners as well as Sellers on their new adventure. It may well be something, as Stephen alluded to there, that we could be seeing a bit more often in legal circles going forward, so well worth watching out for. For now though, that's where time's beaten us on this week's Clare Means Business. Do tune our way again next week when we'll hear from some of our winners at the recent Best of Clare Awards. Looking forward to that, but for now stay safe and we'll chat again next Friday.
You've been listening to an exclusive Clare FM podcast presented by Josh Prendeville. Log on each week to hear Clare Means Business.